From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, September 30th, 2020. Governor Mills today extended the state of civil emergency for 30 days through October 29th. In a press release, the governor says that as Maine enters the colder months and more activities move indoors, it's more important than ever to maintain the critical public health measures that have kept us all safe. There are 54 additional cases of COVID-19 in Maine, according to the latest numbers from the state CDC. The agency is reporting no new deaths today, holding that number at 141. There are currently 572 active cases in Maine. Despite numerous outbreaks in York County, the state's positivity rate is 0.48%, about 10 times lower than the national average. The Maine Ethics Commission today dismissed a complaint against Republican State Senate candidate Trey Stewart for using a political action committee to reimburse himself for clothes and tires. Steve Missler has more.
Stewart had been accused by an Aroostook County man of breaking Maine campaign finance laws designed to prevent legislators from using private donations to political action committees to enrich themselves. The allegations centered on four expenditures in 2018 and 2019 by Stewart's Star City PAC, twice for new tires and twice for clothes. Stewart, who is currently the assistant Republican leader in the Maine House, told the Ethics Commission that all of the expenditures were consistent with the PAC's efforts to recruit Republican House candidates in his 2018 bid for a leadership position in the legislature. The five-member commission agreed and unanimously dismissed the complaint. Stewart is challenging Democratic State Senator Mike Carpenter for one of Aroostook County's two state Senate seats. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Unemployment rates fell in all three of Maine's urban areas in August. The Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that in Bangor, the unemployment rate fell from 8.6% to 5.7%. Lewiston Auburn's unemployment rate fell from 10.2% to 6.7%. In Portland, South Portland, the jobless figures went from 9.8% down to 6.3%. In all three areas, the August unemployment rates were about three times higher than they were in August of last year. Superior Court Justice William Stokes has denied a group's request to order changes in Maine's election law that would make it easier to vote during the pandemic. But as Mal Leary reports, the Alliance for Retired Americans is appealing two parts of the decision to the state Supreme Court.
The Alliance wanted the court to order six changes, including a provision that would allow Mainers to vote online, and another requiring the state to pay for return postage of absentee ballots. The justice denied the request, but the Alliance is now asking the law court to order local election officials to notify a voter if their absentee ballot is rejected. That can happen now, but it's not required. The Alliance also wants the High Court to order that ballots postmarked before Election Day be counted. Richard Fiesta is executive director of the group.
The Postal Service has frankly told all 50 states it may not be able to deliver in its normal delivery time. We just feel that those ballots, if postmarked by Election Day, should count.
Maine Secretary of State Matt Dunlap says the law requires receipt of all absentee ballots no later than 8 p.m. on Election Day so that the results can be certified before new legislators take office in the first week in December.
We have 2 days for the towns to get their results to the Secretary of State's office. The Secretary of State has another 18 days to certify the results of the election, 20 days after the election. And, you know, there's 29 days between Election Day and swearing-in day for the legislature.
Dunlap says within that window, there will be recounts and time needed to process ranked choice voting. Justice Stokes acknowledged the circumstances of the pandemic and the Postal Service's mail delivery problems, but decided they did not warrant the extraordinary action of changing election laws by court order. Similar requests in some other states have been granted. but rejected in others. It's expected that the state Supreme Court will take up the appeal quickly. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Most colleges in Maine have resumed in-person classes this fall, but with all kinds of new precautions. Masks, travel restrictions, socially distanced classes, and no party policies. Yet a small group of professors and students at Bar Harbor's College of the Atlantic has been able to avoid these restrictions and are meeting in person with no social distancing required. Robbie Feinberg has more.
The idea began mostly as a joke at a College of the Atlantic faculty meeting earlier this year.
The meeting when we were discussing how we were going to proceed with the fall term and said, what are we supposed to do? Have students live in little pods at our houses?
Reuben Hudson, who teaches chemistry, says everyone laughed at the idea at first. But later that day, Hudson says he talked with his wife, Kit Hamley, a PhD candidate in ecology who taught at COA last spring. And she says they looked outside at their sprawling property in Monroe, north of Belfast. It's dotted with trees, rolling hills, and remnants of old mills and rock quarries.
Yeah, so we're on about 90 acres. And the cool thing is that two sides of it are river. So the river takes a 90-degree turn, so we're bordered by two sides of the river. One side abuts our neighbor's field, and then the rest is this dead-end dirt road. Pretty remote and pretty private, and a good place to learn.
With help from the school, Hamley and Hudson conceived of a plan that would allow in-person classes while still reducing the risk of viral transmission. They decided to turn their farm into its own remote campus. About 10 students and 4 faculty members would come and stay for about 2 months. They'd all be tested twice at the beginning with no visitors. I'm the only guest the farm has had since classes started a few weeks ago, and I wore a mask and stayed outside, keeping my distance from the group.
We're basically here. Nobody comes or goes except for to pick up curbside grocery orders at the grocery store or bulk food orders from the COA kitchen. And that's sort of how we keep our bubble safe.
What was the main question in the Oswald paper? What were they trying to answer?
On a recent morning, the students are seated in a circle on the grass and discuss a scientific study as part of one of their classes here before walking through the woods to teach each other about pine and beech trees.
And they have beautiful bark, thin, smooth, silvery gray bark, and when they're
there are no masks, no social distancing. Students eat elbow to elbow and hug each other. They describe it as almost like summer camp, spending almost every class and mealtime together, sleeping in tents or in a stove-heated cabin that Hamley and Hudson built by the river. Junior Isidore Munoz says transitioning away from a life of social distancing took some adjustment, but it was also part of the appeal of coming to the farm, particularly after a spring semester of remote learning that didn't always go smoothly.
Just like I also felt that this was like a very unique experience to have. Because it was like, whenever again are you going to be able to go this kind of small heaven in like the middle of a pandemic situation?
But some students say they're conflicted about living in a bubble as their classmates at COA continue to face the pandemic, which has transformed their college and so many others. Back on campus, masks are required in most places, and buildings are lined with new signs and arrows to promote social distancing.
It feels almost guilty to be here, to talk to friends who are back in Bar Harbor and hear their experiences of, yep, every day is the same. Yep, still don't have any motivation to do anything.
That's junior Nora Hyman.
And for me to be taking walks in the woods and talking about trees and picking tomatoes from the farm and then cooking them in the kitchen. And yeah, I do feel this little morsel of guilt.
But instructor Kit Hamley says the classes at her farm have seemed to resonate with students, who she says have been more engaged than in any course she's taught before.
And I think part of that is because we all, over the last 6 months, kind of realized what was missing, you know, in our education and teaching experiences. And so I think it's now we're taking all of that less for granted than we did before.
But the program isn't permanent. Given the cold winter ahead and the faculty's other responsibilities, it'll come to an end in November. But students here on the farm say it's been a relief to just focus on their classes for at least a few months. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
You're listening to All Things Considered on Maine Public Radio. The Maine Center for Disease Control is reporting a case of acute hepatitis A in a food service worker at the Birchers Resort Restaurant in Rockwood. Staff and patrons who worked at or ate food from the restaurant between September 16th and 20th are advised to get a vaccination. Those who visited the restaurant between September 2nd and 15th are outside the window when a vaccine is recommended, but should monitor for symptoms such as fatigue, nausea, and jaundice. Hepatitis A is a contagious liver disease that spreads through contaminated food and water. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the state of Maine. Tonight, a few clouds in the northern mountains, otherwise clearing and much drier. Winds ease, lows 45 to 54. Tomorrow, variably cloudy, brightest for the southern half of the state. Much drier, afternoon showers possible along the Quebec border. Highs 63 to 74. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ed Morin. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 for a discussion about podcasting. I'm Ed Morin.